Coming to you loud and clear from our safe and germ-free homes and on Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Carl Christensen, filling in again for Tom Clark. And as always, we're here to talk with you about what's new in healthy living, share some down-to-earth advice, and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. And as usual, Zorba, we have a few topics to talk about today.
The first topic is Elvis Presley. Now, what does Elvis Presley have to do with vaccinations? We will fill you in on that great, important 1950s thing that Elvis did to move things forward in terms of the polio vaccine. And then we're going to talk about the fact that dementia, Alzheimer's, and other forms of mental confusion are not an inevitable part of aging. What can you do to actually change things?
Interesting stuff. And we have a special recipe, as usual.
As usual. Teriyaki chicken bowl. I happen to love chicken teriyaki. This is a really easy go-to recipe that you can do in your house. You don't even need a wok. You just need a fry pan and a little bit of courage to actually buy the materials and take it on yourself.
800-462-7413 is the number to call where you can leave us a voicemail anytime with your questions for Dr. Zorba. And then stay tuned. You might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of the show. That's 800-462-7413. I'm also happy to announce that later in the show, we'll be hearing from Tom Clark in his highly experimental test kitchen for the recipe segment.
You know, when you look at movies and you look at Zoom calls and Zoom things on TV, and sometimes people are really in their kitchen. You look at the kitchens, you look what they look like. They're silver and they're beautiful. Tom Clark's kitchen doesn't look like any of that. It's simply legendary.
All right. We've been combing through the many voicemails listeners have left us. So let's kick things off with a caller from, and let's do some trivia again, Zorba. Are you up for it?
I'm up for it.
Anytime. Always up for it, aren't you? All right. This caller hails from the hometown of two characters, and these are characters from two very famous movies.
Okay.
So the first character, have you ever seen Annie Hall, Woody Allen movie?
I have.
Annie Hall is from this town. And there's this little indie film that was made years ago. It's called Titanic. Have you ever heard of that movie?
I've kind of seen that. And by the way, we lived, my wife and I lived for a while in Nova Scotia. And that's where a lot of the Titanic, the people who died in the Titanic, are actually in Nova Scotia. Many of the bodies. Beautiful, beautiful old cemetery because, you know, a lot of the people were wealthy and they have beautiful gravestones. So I'd fill you in on a bit of Titanic trivia, but go on.
Right. So huge movie. The main character, one of the main characters, Jack Dawson, played by Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. He was also from this quaint little town in Wisconsin. Do you remember?
Leonardo DiCaprio came from Wisconsin?
His character did, not the actor.
Oh, his character.
His character in Titanic.
I thought he came from Wisconsin. No. Racine?
Not Racine.
I'm not going to guess Milwaukee.
You're not going to get. I'll give you a really easy hint. This will definitely tip you off. This is where they make Lineys, Leinenkugels.
Actually, it does not tip me off at all. It does not tip me off at all.
That's all right.
I mean, I drink Lineys, but this does not tip me off. I guess it's not. I like their summer shandy, but I have no idea where the town is.
This is the home of Annie Hall, Jack Dawson, and Leinenkugels. It is Chippewa Falls.
Hi, Zorba. What do you think about AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson's vaccines as compared to the COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna?
Now, that's a question that I've actually been asked numerous times, and it's really exactly the right question. If you look at the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, they are a high bar. 95%, incredible. 10 days, you are close to full immunity, incredible. The technology behind it, incredible. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, when it comes out, will be a one shot. That'll be pretty incredible because one shot is better than two shots, easier for a whole bunch of reasons. The AstraZeneca will be a two-shot vaccine done. Once again, both those vaccines, different technology than the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine. But the reality is we don't have the data They have not released the data. The FDA is looking over some of the data. The companies are looking at the data, but until it's actually released, I can't actually chime in on it. I do know one thing. If it's not in that 95% range, it's really going to cause a stir. And that's kind of important because Merck, which is a great vaccine company, they make a number of vaccines, human papillomavirus. They were the first up with the shingles vaccine. They were the first up with the pneumonia vaccine, the first pneumonia vaccine. And it turned out their technology did not work. And they only had about 50% immunity. And so they had two vaccine candidates at Merck that they dropped because the data didn't look good. But the data's got to look good for those vaccines or they wouldn't continue with them. But time will tell.
800-462-7413. That's the number to call. 800-462-7413. Let's keep the calls rolling in, Zorba. Here's a caller from Madison, Wisconsin.
I am in my 30s, and I'm wondering how any advice on talking to my older relatives, my parents, about some of the risks of COVID-19. I feel like me and my friends who have children who are in the middle, we're being more careful. And it seems like sometimes I'm hurting their feelings, like they think that I'm implying that they're not being careful. And yet I'm hearing things from friends like, my parents want to go to the store four times a day. And I'm reminding them about hand washing. And I'm just wondering if you have any advice on younger people speaking to older people in a way that's more respectful about their safety. Thank you.
You bet. Very,
it's a great question.
Very, very important. And I always go back to my agent when I wrote my book, The Longevity Code, Your Personal Prescription for a Longer, Sweeter Life. I have an agent who has since passed away, Carl DeSantis, wonderful guy. And he said, you know, when you're in doubt, Zorba, just go back to the old truth trick. And I said, what's the truth trick? He said, just go back, tell the truth. And that's exactly it. So the answer is, yes, you should question authority, and that's the older person, in a truthful manner and be very direct. And, you know, the way to do it, the way I would recommend it is say, I am very concerned that you're not using the precautions that you do, and it really bothers me, and it's upset, and I'd like to have a conversation about it. That's what you have to do. You got to break the ice. And then you have to sit down. If they go, well, I don't know about this, I don't know about that, you have to give them the information. Got to wash your hands. You've got to mask up all the time. You've got to limit the amount of times you go to the store. As she mentioned, they may be going to the store too often. You've got to socially distance. And then you have to say, I'm concerned about it. Now, there are other things that you can apply or say directly in this, such as, I don't want to get sick. I have children. And if you're not taking the precautions, I'm afraid that I just can't see you until things get a little bit better. You can always rely on that. You don't always have to say that, but you can say, I don't want my kids to get sick because I don't know what's going to happen. But I think going back to the truth is the way to do it. There are people who just don't understand it because public health has been politicized. We know that. But if you look back in the 1918 pandemic, it was politicized then. If you look at what happened during the polio epidemic, it wasn't politicized, but we're going to talk about Elvis and what he did. So this is actually not unusual. This actually is common. And you've got to move people to the right side of it, just like don't smoke in my house. Don't smoke in the restaurant. Yes, you have to wear your seatbelt. Yes, we're going to go to unleaded vaccine. Yes, we're going to cut down on traffic deaths because we're going to cut down on the way that we speed. And once again, it's a public health message you can give your parents.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. Leave a message with a question for Dr. Zorba to answer. And we'll get back to those calls in just a bit. But first, Zorba, you mentioned it a little bit here about Elvis. We're going to talk about an interesting little piece of history that's applicable to today's pandemic. Tell us about how Elvis Presley helped Americans get behind the polio vaccine.
Well, that's it. It's an article in the Scientific American. Now, Carl, have you ever read the Scientific American?
Yeah, come on, I read Carl. This article.
You're right. Before that, you've heard of Scientific American, right?
Sure. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah, you've heard of it. That's right. That's right. But anyway, so this is an article that looked at Elvis. And what happened was Elvis on the Ed Sullivan Show. The Ed Sullivan Show was the number one show in America. It was a variety show, and it was like what you did on Sunday evening. Half of America was tuned, at least that, to this show, the Ed Sullivan Show. And Elvis was on the show. And when they showed, by the way, Elvis on the show, he was on there to sing because it's Elvis Presley. Nobody had seen him. They had heard about him. You know, the kids were buying his music, but nobody saw him. And, you know, when they actually go to YouTube and look at it, when they took pictures of Elvis on the show, they did not show him below the waist. I think
that's right. Yeah, it's a very famous part of rock and roll history.
And it was very provocative. But they did show him bare his arm and get a polio vaccine, the sock vaccine, on the air. Now, at that point, it was, according to the Scientific American article, 0.8% of all the teenagers got the polio vaccine. They weren't getting the polio vaccine. Sound familiar?
A little bit.
What's going on in COVID? And once Elvis got the polio vaccine, it boomed. It increased dramatically. It's like, well, if Elvis can do it, he's showing us the way I can do it. Now, I don't know. Have you seen the Arnold Schwarzenegger YouTube?
I did. Yep. What's his line? It's from Terminator. Come with me if you want to live, I think is what he says.
Right, yeah. Right. Yep. What he did was he took, just like Elvis, he used YouTube. He did it in the right way. He talked a lot about this. He talked about other things too. And he is taking the bull by the horns as to do it and using his Arnold character and saying, you really should get vaccinated. And then I went through and looked at other people that got vaccinated. So you look, for instance, at Mike Pence, you know, a Politico, a Republican. Mm-hmm. He showed that he got vaccinated because, once again, we know that from a tribal point of view, Republicans on the whole are less likely to get vaccinated than Democrats. Shouldn't be that way, but the reality is that's what it is. Martha Stewart got vaccinated. The reality is we should see more and more people in a variety of age groups getting vaccinated, especially older people. But I think it shows you, when your neighbor gets vaccinated, or somebody that you look at get vaccinated, or somebody that you like who is a star or a star person, then you're more likely to do it. And the reality is, we don't have enough vaccine to go around right now. It's really not an issue. But the issue is going to come forth as we get those initial vaccinations out over the next few months.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Zorba. Let's say, you know, since celebrities can help, you know, this the optics of getting vaccinated, if you were to pick one right now who would get vaccinated, you know, in a very public way, who would you go with that would help move the needle?
The Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because he is the most recognizable face in the world. Mm-hmm. And they would say, if he's getting vaccinated, it must be okay for me. That's who I would choose.
Yeah, I did a little bit of research and I saw, like you were talking about, you know, how politics plays into this. And I read this Pew Research study mm-hmm. about... Basically, it said 50% of Republicans mm-hmm. and 69% of Democrats. So there is quite a break in that. And it's just interesting how that happened.
But the thing people have to understand is that is not unusual. This happened in the influenza pandemic of 1918. If you read the book, The Great Influenza, you can see what went on there. And I've talked about it before. President Wilson would throw you in jail if you talked about the influenza pandemic while he was recruiting people for World War I. Not unusual at all. And if you look back even into the Black Plague and other things. There always are people who believe things and don't believe things. So it's really a matter of moving forward with science, because even though we may raise our flag from one tribe or another, if you get sick and you're having chest pain and a heart attack, you're going to a hospital. You're going to a scientific medical institution. And all we have to do is tell people, this is important, is taking your blood pressure medication or your cholesterol medication to lower that or to quit smoking. This is just as important. And eventually we will pull those people along. I am sure of that.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime. Let's go back to those voicemails. Let's hear now from a caller in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hello, Zorba. I must admit something. I have very sensitive feet to the point where when I lay down, children around me grab my feet for fun, and they're so sensitive that I'll kick them, or I've kicked people before. I'm not sure if this is like a phobia or something that I don't want people to touch my feet. And even more than that, like, I don't want to touch my feet even when I'm showering and stuff like this. So is that a phobia? Is there something I could do to perhaps make my feet less sensitive to others? It's very odd to me. Have you ever heard of something like this? Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
I'll tell you something. I have heard about this. And you know who I've heard about this from? Me. I have very sensitive feet.
Really?
I can't stand a foot massage. I remember I was with my wife in Thailand where they give these fabulous foot massages. And I said, not to me at all. And occasionally I go to a massage therapist and he never, ever touches my feet. I said, stay away from my feet. You can touch the top of my foot, but you cannot touch the bottom of my foot. I, too, have difficulty when I'm in the shower, especially if I'm out in the mud and I want to wash and I've got the bottom of my feet are really dirty. I sort of have to sit on a shower chair and be very careful because I cannot stand washing the bottom of my feet. I have looked this up. I have researched this. It is not a phobia. It is simply somebody who is very sensitive to their feet. And there is, as far as I know, absolutely no cure other than the fact that if people go around touching your feet, you got to tell them not to do it. Oh, you got to kick them. That's what you got to do. Nobody touches my feet, not even me.
So I'm guessing you've never tried that walk across hot coals thing. That probably wouldn't happen
right,
for
that's
you.
That's exactly it. It's not at all. And I have to keep shoes on in the house because I can't take it. And actually, sometimes when I walk in the grass in the summer, I can't even take that. It's like not a comfortable situation. You know how grass can be really good? When I was young,
yeah.
Grass was kind of fun. Oh, not anymore.
It feels great, yeah.
No, yeah, I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Not anymore. I have no idea when it happened at all. But hey, you know, if somebody out there has an idea of what to do, please email us at Zorba@WPR.org. That's Zorba@WPR.org. Or post it on Facebook. Please, please, please. Let's crowdsource this and get an answer.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we take a break, Zorba, let's check in with your favorite do-gooders, the Grammar Police. But hold on, wait, just a second, Zorba. This is actually from a very specialized unit within the Grammar Police. Mm-hmm. This one comes from the Latka Police.
Oh, no, it's the
Latka!
Okay.
I love it. Little fiddler
on the roof. All right, Zorba, on a recent show, the recipe you and Tom were cooking up was garlic and rosemary latkes. You remember making latkes?
I do.
It was a good one. And a listener named Joshua from Madison, Wisconsin, he found some errors during that segment in what you said. So he sent us the following voicemail.
I just wanted to address a couple things that Zorba Pastor said about latkes. First of all, that latkes are not necessarily made of potato pancakes, as most people nowadays think of them, but really the Yiddish word just refers to a small fried pancake. And in fact, latkes predate the introduction of potatoes to Eastern Europe and used to be made from vegetables or cheese or even other grains. In fact, the reason that they are a traditional Hanukkah food is because they are fried in oil, which is really the important part of a latke, which is reminiscent of the oil in the Hanukkah story that burned for 8 days. Thank you.
How about that? Joshua from Madison dropping some latke knowledge.
That's pretty awesome. I never thought. I mean, I think of latkes as simply made of potatoes. But of
Me
course,
too.
Potatoes were not introduced into Europe until after 1492. But made of other vegetables. Now, that's fascinating.
Even cheese.
Well,
no, that's something we know about.
Yeah, fried cheese. Fried cheese.
Is that the first cheese curd, maybe?
You know what it is? Yes, the first cheese curd was a Jewish latke from the 1200s that they actually invented.
Sounds amazing.
But it was a big cheese curd.
Right, like a huge cheese pancake. I love it. I see our next recipe, maybe. Another show. All right. Thanks a lot, Joshua from Madison. And do you think Zorba perhaps makes a latke errors on the show? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email.
That was a low blow.
Uncalled for.
That was a low blow. Zorba@WPR.org. Or don't forget, get us through Facebook.
We have more of your calls to come, more of your emails as well. And Zorba and local celebrity chef Tom Clark will be serving up a teriyaki chicken bowl in Tom's high-tech kitchen. All that coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor On Your Health. Now, there are plenty of reasons to listen to this show, and one of those reasons is to see what Chef Tom Clark is cooking up from his impressive menu. So, let's head over to Tom's kitchen, where Zorba and Tom are busy putting together a teriyaki chicken bowl.
Carl, thank you. Carl will be back, but I'm Tom Clark, here with Zorba Pastor. It's recipe time, which I always love, but the recipes don't usually go in a microwave, which I need. If it's microwavable, then I can do it. Otherwise...
That's right. Well, not all recipes are microwavable, Tom. I mean, some of them, you actually have to kind of put together. You don't just put it in and zap it, nuke it in the microwave.
Okay, let's do it.
Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. From the protein point of view, if you were to look at your favorite protein, is it chicken? Is it salmon? Is it fish? Is it a beef burger? What's your favorite protein?
I don't know if I have a favorite.
Okay, so you like all different kinds of protein. Do you like chicken?
Chicken is good.
Uh-huh. Have you? It's, by the way, it is America's favorite protein these days. It has overtaken beef by far. And if you look at fast food restaurants, they are engaging in more and more chicken. McDonald's is now having more chicken sandwiches. Popeyes developed a chicken sandwich that was sort of off the charts, and they couldn't even keep it in stock. It became so popular. This is teriyaki chicken bowl. It is a heart healthy recipe. It uses chicken, of course, which is really a lower fat protein. And as I said, it's become America's favorite protein. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so first of all, we've got to make the teriyaki sauce. Now, you could buy a teriyaki sauce, but you can also make it really easily, and then you can adjust it to your particular taste. And it's incredibly simple, and it's incredibly good. So start out with 1 tablespoonful of sugar.
Big T, sugar.
1 tablespoonful of good soy sauce.
Yes.
1 tablespoon of mirin.
Was I supposed to say that after you?
No, you know something.
You said it a number of times.
That's it. 1 tablespoonful of sugar, 1 tablespoonful of soy sauce, and 1 tablespoonful of something called mirin, M-I-R-I-N. Mirin is a wine that is a Japanese wine that's sold in Asian grocery stores. 1 tablespoonful of mirin.
Big T, mirin.
And then 1 tablespoonful of sake, either sake or rice wine vinegar. And again, rice wine vinegar you will find in an Asian grocery store, or you'll find in a really good grocery store in the Asian section.
That's a big tea, sake or sherry or rice wine vinegar.
Right. 12 ounces of boneless skin on or skin off chicken thighs, whichever you want to have.
Yes.
But you're going to add some salt in case you need it, but you don't have to put in right away. A couple of bowls of cooked rice and 1/3 cup of frozen green peas.
That's salt, cooked rice, and green peas.
That's right. That's right. So let's make it. So
yes.
First of all, make the teriyaki sauce by combining the sugar, soy sauce, mirin, and sake or rice wine vinegar in a bowl. Cut the chicken into small bite-sized pieces. Sprinkle with 1/4 teaspoon, which is a little bit of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of salt. Not very much at all. Then heat a nonstick frying pan, or if you want to, a wok would work just as well, over medium heat until it's hot. And if using skinless chicken, for instance, if you decide either not to use the skinless thighs, thighs are much better, but boneless skinless chicken breast, but I recommend thighs much better. You're going to have to put a little oil in there. And then what you do is you let the chicken fry undisturbed till it's browned on one side, then flip it over to the other side. The idea is to get a crust on that chicken, because once you get a crust on the boneless chicken, it tastes really, really good. Then give the teriyaki sauce a little stir. Throw it into the pan. Let the mixture mix, tossing the chicken until it's got very little liquid in it. So it remaining, it sort of forms a thick, wonderful, shiny glaze. And, of course, you've got your 2 bowls of rice that are off there to the side. And then heat the peas for just a little bit of time in boiling salted water. And when the chicken teriyaki is done, put that on top of the rice and then drizzle it with sauce and then top it with those green peas that are just slightly done al dente.
Yeah.
And then you've got really a good one sauce. It's really easy to do. I made this while I was trying out the recipe, and I really, really liked it. It's an excellent, easy recipe. And I used boneless, skinless chicken thighs, which I think tastes really good. They really have, they're much more flavorful than boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Uh-huh. I can't do this in my microwave.
You can't do this in the microwave. You will have to turn on your stove. Do you have, by the way, a gas stove or an electric stove?
Gas.
It's a gas. You have to turn on your gas stoves. I love gas stoves because you can
make it mess. Maybe it's electric.
Maybe it's electric. Does it have a flame?
I never turn it on. How would I know?
Now that's Tom's legendary kitchen. The kitchen that legends are made out of.
Now, how can one get this recipe?
Well, we know what they can't do. They can't write us because we're not going to give you the address because we don't have Gigi that's sending it out, and that would cost money because we have to buy stamps. But through the magic of electronics, they can go to Zorba Pastor at our website. That is zorbapastor.org. That's zorbapastor.org. Or, of course, you can find us through Facebook.
Yeah. Well, look who's coming, Zorba. Carl's coming.
Oh, my God. He's coming down the electronic road, isn't he?
He's going to grab me by the collar and throw me out of here. Hey, Carl, are you ready?
Thanks a lot, Tom. 800-462-7413. That's 800-462-7413 is the number to call anytime. But before we get back to our callers, let's take a moment for a quick technology update.
Time for technology update.
So yeah, that's my son Otis. I think we've heard it before. I know you told I told you guys about this a few weeks ago, but I just want to remind our listeners, if you want to hear the show anytime and you have an Alexa smart speaker, you can say, "Alexa, play Zorba Pastor on your health," and through the magic of who knows what, the show will play. Pretty cool, right?
So what if I say Alexa and it's not turned on and I don't have a speaker? What happens then?
Then you're just screaming into the ether, I think.
Okay, just want to know that, by the way. By the way, you know something? When your son runs a high-tech company and you replay that, he is going to say that. Or you could just play it at his wedding.
There
that would
go.
Be it. That's it.
Yep.
He would say, I've got a tape of Otis when he was a young kid. And see what they do. The whole wedding party will just laugh and laugh and laugh.
That kid, when he gets around an Alexa, we don't have one, but some friends have them, and when he gets around an Alexa, he is unbridled. Like, he keeps changing songs every 10 seconds. Have you ever been around a child around an Alexa? Uh-huh. It's just
No, our children were perfect. They never gave us any trouble.
Of course, they're perfect. You know how many times I've heard the song Juicy Wiggle in my life?
Juicy Wiggle?
Yeah, I'll play it for you someday. Speaking of smart speakers, we have some of the smartest listeners around. So let's go to our phones and hear from a listener in Madison, Wisconsin.
Can Dr. Zorba please explain that people who have had COVID are still contagious to those around them? My sister felt that it was fine to have her in-laws at her Christmas party, which I would not go to, because the in-laws had COVID, so therefore they are immune for a short amount of time, probably. And she thought that meant that they couldn't give it to her, which is wrong. So I would really appreciate it if he could set that straight. If I'm wrong, let me know. But I don't think so because I check his website. Thank you.
You know,
that's
you can,
great.
You
she
can
does also, check the website. That's great.
Which is great. And you can tell how upset she was. And just like our other caller, how do you actually question authority? But the best data for this actually comes out of Great Britain. And it comes from healthcare providers in Great Britain. So in the UK, anyone who's a healthcare provider gets tested for COVID once a week. And so they have a lot of data. So I don't remember how many people they actually looked in the study. And it was over about roughly a four or five month period. So every single week, they simply get COVID tested in their nose, and then they looked at the people who had COVID antibodies, the ones who actually had COVID, had known COVID, and so they have antibodies in their blood because they periodically check for that. And what they discovered was this: 83% of the people who had COVID never experienced getting COVID in their nose again, once again, but roughly 83%, 17% of the people when tested, even though they had COVID, in certain situations, actually still had COVID in their nose. In other words, they were carrying COVID. Now, whether COVID had actually colonized their nose or whether or not they caught COVID again but weren't showing symptoms, because a lot of them were not showing symptoms, is an issue that we don't really know. But the reality is, even though you've had COVID and even though you've had the COVID vaccine, it doesn't mean you may not have COVID in your nose and spread it to others. And that's the big issue. We know that people who had COVID definitely can spread it to others because we've now seen people have COVID again. But on the other hand, we don't know what it does with the immunization. And that's why Dr. Fauci, who's a person of science, really knows what he talks about. And he says, got to mask up, got to socially distance, got to wash your hands, got to keep safe. And you have to do it. And if you have a relative who has somebody over for a party like that, and you say you're not going, you have to tell them, you have to say in a nice way, you're wrong. Here's the data. Sorry, you're so upset with me. Got to face it. It's just like with a kid. Sometimes you have to tell your child, you got to share when they're kids. Sometimes you have to tell an adult, you got to be careful. And it's the same thing. And you have to step up to the plate and tell them because it's in their best interest. If they end up getting COVID and they end up dying from COVID and you didn't say anything, what's going to happen? You're not only are you going to feel bad, they're going to be dead.
Important stuff. 800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. That's the number to call if you'd like to leave Zorba a question anytime. And Zorba, we get so many calls from our fantastic listeners with so many great questions. And we also get some calls from helpful listeners who just want to share a comment or a health tip. So let's take some time now to hear a few of these calls in the segment we call Caller Comments.
This is a bunch of caller comments. People calling us with their health tips.
Thanks. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. We do appreciate it. First up, Zorba, let's hear from a caller in Knoxville, Tennessee.
What I was calling for is the last person on the show was saying how his medication costs too much. And if you contact the manufacturers, they will work with people and get you a better price if you just, you know, just ask them. Thank you.
Is that true, Zorba?
And absolutely is the case for a number of drugs, not for all drugs, but for a number of drugs. What they do is if you have a very expensive drug from the manufacturer and you can talk to your pharmacist and talk to your doctor about it, there actually are numbers that you can call and apply for that. And then there are income restrictions. So in other words, I don't know how much they check, but they actually say, what's your income? And we will give you a discount. So the answer is yes. For some of the very expensive drugs, they do that. Does not happen for generics, is not the case for all manufacturers, but is the case for a number of manufacturers. So the answer is it's someplace to start. Your doctor, healthcare provider, nurse practitioner, physician assistant, and pharmacist can give you information about it, or you can search on the web for a drug. And by the way, you'll notice if you look at some advertisements, especially for new drugs, they'll say as little as $10 a month. And the reality is because what they want to do, if you've got some insurance, is the insurance copay could be $50 or $75 a month. They want to sell the drug, and so they basically then take care of the copay. And don't forget, GoodRx.com is also a very important way to look and shop for medications, because sometimes paying for something in cash using GoodRx.com is cheaper than your copay on your insurance. And remember, always ask your pharmacist, because under federal guidelines, which are dumb and stupid, the pharmacist cannot tell you if it's cheaper to pay cash than your copay. They are not allowed to do it in most states in the country, and it's an abomination.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. Lots of great comments from our callers. Thanks a lot. Keep them coming, as always. But before we take another break, Zorba, we always appreciate our listeners posting on the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page. So it's time again for Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
All right, Zorba, this question came to us from Casey, who lives in New York. Casey writes, "Dear Dr. Zorba, I love you to pieces." That's always a good start, right?
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
"I love you to pieces, but need to correct your historical knowledge. Last week, you referred to refraining from alcohol as puritanical. The Puritans were most definitely beer drinkers, and we know from the ship's manifest that beer came over on the Mayflower. Drinking alcohol was much more hygienic, as water sources were rarely pure.
Right, that's true.
Casey goes on, it wasn't until the early 1800s when drunkenness became a huge problem in the country that some Christian denominations thought any alcohol consumption was sinful. It's a common misconception, but the Puritans don't deserve a bad rap. At least for that.
But, you know, it's funny. We think of puritanical as, I mean, I think the word puritanical has a different definition than the Puritans themselves. And by the way, the drink of choice in the morning was either a glass of beer or a glass of rum before the Dutch came over and introduced coffee. And they became much more efficient. And that's why they took over New York. And that's why New York is still bustling today. But if you look back to the alcohol consumption in the 1700s, it was roughly 4 to 5 times the amount of alcohol we drink today per capita. In other words, oh yeah, they were drunk all the time. They were just drinking. And that's why, the Women's Christian Temperance League, essentially came up ultimately produced the prohibition amendment because there were people who were drunk all the time and they thought they could basically fix it. And then there were a number of cultural things. They were thought, well, the Irish were drinking all the time and they were bringing into the country. The Germans were drinking all the time. So there were all these things that were labeled incorrectly because the reality was everybody was drinking all the time. And that was the real issue.
Thanks for the great Facebook comments. Keep them coming. And again, the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page is the best place to find the latest from Zorba surrounding the COVID-19 pandemic. And don't forget, you can always send us an old-fashioned email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Many more of your calls to come. We have another topic to discuss, and Zorba will be answering more of your emails. All coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Carl Christensen filling in for Tom Clark on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. 800-462-7413 is the number to call where anytime you can leave a voicemail for Dr. Zorba. And then stay tuned. You might just show up on one of the next episodes of the show. But before we hear from more of our listeners, Zorba, there's some new interesting research coming out about dementia and Alzheimer's.
It's really an important thing because as we get older, you know, we are more likely to develop dementia. Do you ever think about that, Carl?
I do. Of course I do. Yep.
I worry about it, for sure. You think about it with your parents or your grandparents?
I think about it with my parents. I think about it with me. It just seems to be more common.
Yeah. Well, it's common, among other things, because we're older and older. But the good news is there are other things that you can do about it. This particular study looked at people who are centenarians, the ones who are 100 years of age and older, looking basically at dementia and dementia risk and so on, and discovered that are a number of people 100 years in age and older are really quite with it and quite bright. And when you look back at some of the data, you find out that there are modifiable risk factors that you can do to prevent dementia, just like kind of when you go down the road, you put on a seatbelt, and that doesn't mean you're not going to have a crash, but it means you're more likely to survive it. So what do you think one factor is in dementia?
I wonder, is diet have anything to do with it?
Sure, it does. If you have a diet that's more likely to produce cardiovascular disease, you're more likely to have dementia. What else do you think may play a role? I'm going to give you three.
Three? Oof, oh boy. I know this one's right. I know exercise definitely plays an important role.
Exercise definitely plays a role. And we know it's really important as you get older. I just went to my trainer today. My wife, Penny, said, do you like going to the trainer? And I thought, I actually hate going to the trainer. I don't really hate it, but I don't like it. On the other hand, I like the way I feel afterwards, and we know exercise plays a role in dementia. Get one more guess. What else do you think might play a role?
Okay, I have 2 out of 3. If I get three out of 3, I'm going to be pretty excited. I actually remembered this,
but go ahead.
I'm pretty sure sleep plays a role as well.
Sleep plays a role. It's a very important part of that, making sure that you get enough sleep in bed, relaxing so those neurons can connect. And then, of course, not smoking, not drinking too much alcohol. But another thing that people don't realize plays a role is hearing. People who have hearing loss who do not wear hearing aids are more likely to get dementia. And The Lancet thinks that that's responsible for about 20% of all dementia. Why? We withdraw from talking. We don't interact with people. We know social interaction is important. And we also hear and we also get memories through our ears. I mean, when you think about it, sometimes don't you ever talk out loud to yourself?
Sure. Yep.
I don't know exactly why, but there's something about hearing that's important. So the bottom line is there actually, in the Framingham Heart Study, there's actually been a 40% drop in dementia over the last decade because people are getting their blood pressure under control, their cholesterol under control, smoking less, drinking less, getting their hearing checked and other things. Dementia and Alzheimer's is not inevitable. You can do things about it now.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. That's the number to call anytime if you'd like to leave a message with a question for Dr. Zorba. Let's get back to those voicemails now. Here is a caller from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hi, Zorba. I have a salty taste that has developed in my mouth, and I cannot figure it out. My dentist can't figure it out. I've asked two different dentists. I've talked to my doctor, talked to a couple of doctors. I've talked to my kid's pediatrician, and nobody, talked to a specialist at Mayo Clinic, has heard of this. So we'll need some help with that, and wondering if it's related to an ongoing cough that I've had as well. Thank you so much.
The answer is yes, it could be related to the cough. Let's look for a minute as COVID. Carol, have you heard of COVID?
I've heard of this thing, yeah.
Well, COVID, for instance, not that this person had it, but COVID, we know, changes how people taste.
Right.
They don't smell correctly. They don't taste correctly. I know that that a number of people, some people with COVID, when they eat an orange, it tastes sort of bitter, and they don't actually taste the other part of the orange, and it takes a while for it to come back. We're just beginning to understand that. We know. And I mentioned that because it's a viral infection. And so there may be other viral infections that do it. We also know that people with Parkinsonism can develop a taste sensation that's different. They stop tasting food. People who have an injury to their brain, who actually fall and hit their brain. I have a distant relative cousin who lives in New York, fell on her head, and she doesn't really taste things. She has textures. To her, when she eats vodka, it tastes sweet.
Vodka wow.
Tastes sweet. Who came up with that? She doesn't taste the aromatics of alcohol. So she has to be very careful.
That's dangerous.
It was dangerous because it happened. The fall was in her 20s. So she had to be very careful because she wouldn't know when she was actually drinking alcohol. So it could be viral. Could be from a head injury, could be certainly sinuses can play a role. And frankly, if you've gone to the Mayo Clinic and they can't figure it out, I don't think Zorba Pastor from Zorba Pastor on your health.
Aren't you flattered, though, that he went to you after the Mayo Clinic?
I am flattered.
That was the warm-up act.
And you know, and I got to tell you something. If I came up with the answer, I would be flattered, too.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. All right, Zorba, let's do that segment you love. This is the segment where you get yelled at for something you said
Hooray,
on the show.
Hooray! Hooray!
This is Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh, oh.
All right, Zorba, this email came to us from a listener named James in Binghamton, New York. Mm-hmm. James writes, Dr. Pastor, on today's show, a caller asked if microwaves would kill the coronavirus. Although your answer was more or less true that the heat will kill the virus, it should be pointed out that the microwaves themselves will not affect the virus. The virus is too small to be affected by the waves. Even small insects are too small to be affected. As such, any viruses on surfaces that do not get hot will not be affected. To kill the virus in a microwave oven, you would need water to be heated. That heat would then kill the virus.
Very good point. Very good point that the microwaves themselves don't do it, but the heat on the surface would actually do it. So if you have coronavirus on a bowl, for instance, and it's a microwave-safe bowl, the virus is not going to be killed by that. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if you have it on the surface of food, it's going to be killed because the food is going to heat up in the microwave. It is very good. You know, obviously, this is a science nerd, but of course, we're on public radio.
We have a smart audience, right?
We have the smartest audience in the world. Come on. Public radio, smart audience, hand in hand, baby. Hand in hand.
Do you think Zorba should take some heat for something he said on the show, just post your grievance on our Facebook page, or you can always send us an email at...
You know, obviously it's not Comedy Central when you come up with jokes like that.
It's barely a joke.
Zorba@WPR.org.
All right. Back to your calls at 800-462-7413. Here is a caller from Norman, Oklahoma.
Dr. Zorba, my life has been completely turned around with low-dosage medicinal cannabis, period. I am 70 years old, and you and I both know it's difficult to turn the life around of senior citizens. Are you finding patients who are having tremendous health improvements when taking medicinal levels of cannabis?
A number of good points here. First of all, we use the word medicinal marijuana because we don't want to think of it as legal marijuana, which of course is true. I mean, marijuana is marijuana. There's sativa and there's indica, and there are different amounts of marijuana. Some will make you sleepier, some will make you a little bit, yes, but the basic THC and basically what it does is very interesting because it helps a lot of people with chronic pain. It helps a lot of people get on and get moving. And there was an interesting article that looked recently at opioid deaths and marijuana and has discovered, the article looked at the fact that when marijuana is legalized in an area in a state, that there may be a drop in opioid deaths because people who are taking opioids for chronic pain are now taking marijuana. Mm-hmm. Medical marijuana. And I am very impressed by that. Here it is. We have a drug that we can actually use in many, many states, and we can actually maybe reduce the opioid epidemic by allowing people who have chronic pain, who need something, to actually have medicinal marijuana, which is far safer. You don't die from it, and get them off of opioids, and that can be a treatment. Now, it's kind of interesting. We doctors don't like to substitute one inebriant for another inebriant. It doesn't make sense to us. You know, we don't want to substitute, for instance, opioid for alcoholism. So we're not going to tell you get off of opiates and get drunk every day. Of course not. That causes liver problems, liver disease, and a bunch of other things. But if we were to look at the inebriants and we were to look at the side effects of inebriants, I would say that marijuana has the least side effects of all inebriants that we have. And if you're looking at people who have to get off of opioids or people who can't deal with their chronic pain and their life is just, if you will, down and out and has gone south, I think medical marijuana can be something very useful. And it's time for us as the medical community really embrace it more, because even though we have COVID, we're still in the middle of an opioid epidemic even more. I mean, the last year, 70,000 people, I don't know about 2019, but the year before that, 70,000 people died of opioids. And the statistics for 2019 are not out yet, but I would bet it's at least in the same realm. And the time for us to step up to the plate and look at other drugs such as medicinal marijuana is there. Good for her. We should be doing more for that as doctors, and we should take away the stigma.
That's a good point. I hadn't even thought about that, about the opioid epidemic. I mean, before COVID, that's, we heard about it almost every day. We would hear about it. Now you never
still
hear about it, but it's, of course, still raging on, I'm
of
sure.
Of course. Opiates are still killing people. And people in the house, don't you think they're taking even more opiates?
Sure.
Don't you think the numbers are going to be up there? I mean, now keep in mind, we might have seen epidemics come in peaks. We might have seen the peak of that epidemic, but you better believe it may not be 70,000 this year. Could be 50,000. It certainly is not going to be 5,000.
800-462-7413. That's 1-800-462-7413. But before we head out today, Zorba, we love it when our listeners offer up some helpful information or some interesting ideas. The following tip came to us from a listener named Peggy in West Bend, Wisconsin. Peggy writes, Dr. Zorba, just wanted to let you know the little tune you sang to Tom on the show when saying goodbye after his cooking segment is Happy Trails, not Happy Days.
Happy Trails.
You remember this. We kind of addressed this before.
That's right.
Peggy goes on, it's an old cowboy song and great fun to play on a ukulele for sing-alongs. So what I did, I saw this email come in, and I got in contact with Peggy and asked if she could leave us a voicemail with her singing Happy Trails on playing her ukulele.
Cool.
So this is Peggy with her significant other, Terry, singing Happy Trails while playing along with her ukulele. And Zorba, I have to ask, has anyone on the show, a listener, ever serenaded you before on the show?
Never.
Other than Tom?
Other than Tom, right. Tom has serenaded me. That's right.
Let's hear Peggy and Terry.
okay, that's it. Call me if you have any questions. Bye-bye.
I love it. It brings back fond memories. And I love the audio part of it. It sounds like it's from the 1950s.
It does. You know, like an old Victrola record or something.
It sounds like an old Victrola record. That's right. That is funny. That is funny. Well, happy trails to all of us. That's what life is all about. I love it.
Thanks a lot, Peggy and Terry. And
thank you.
Do you have a ukulele sitting around and want to serenade Zorba? Just call the show, leave us a voicemail at 800-462-7413, or you can always leave your helpful tip by posting on our Facebook page or by sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
Stay well, Zorba.
Take care, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or you just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime to leave us your question at 800-462-7413. And please do visit the Zorba Pastor on Your Health Facebook page for Zorba's frequent coronavirus updates. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is me, Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor and Tom Clark, I'm Carl Christensen asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Did you miss something on today's show? Simply go to ZorbaPastor.org to catch up on all things Zorba. There you will find recipes from the show, links to the Facebook page, Zorba's Healthy Living articles, and you can subscribe to the weekly podcast. On the web, that's ZorbaPastor.org.